define American policies, published in the Arab News, January 26, 2017. I'm Ray Hanania. The battle between the biased American news media and President Donald Trump wasn't the only thing on the minds of Americans during these past few weeks. Nearly 20 million Americans went to theaters to watch the movie Patriot's Day, a dramatization of how two Chechen Muslims killed four Americans and injured hundreds more during a five-day terror campaign that began at the Boston Marathon on April 15, 2013. Although the 143-minute movie vaguely presented some of the motives of the two bombers, brothers Zokar Tsarnaev and Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the focus was on the suffering of the victims and the people involved in capturing them. In the end, the film brought American audiences together against terrorism by Muslims. It was a very emotional film, only one of a dozen of movies that define Arab and Muslim terrorism against Americans. Movies like this strengthen the American resolve against terrorism while reinforcing stereotypes such as the false notion that terrorism only occurs when an Arab or a Muslim kills an American civilian. Most Americans don't consider it terrorism when an American or an American ally like Israel kills Arabs or Muslims. The movie cost $45 million to make, which was funded by 19 people, including actor Mark Wahlberg, who served as executive producer. It made me wonder, why hasn't the Arab and Muslim world presented their hundreds of Boston Marathon bombings as movies to the American people through film? Do we not have the talent to tell our stories? Or maybe we don't have the stories to tell? That's what some Americans might think when they see nothing being produced from us in the form of movies and films. There are hundreds of similar stories that can be told about Arabs, stories that can significantly alter the American view of Arabs, Muslims, and causes like Palestine and Syrian refugees. Occupied Palestine is a litany of untold stories that can be turned into powerful and compelling movies. Gaza alone would be a series of movies of the Israeli carnage and their Israeli violence. Yet none of their stories have been told through movie productions. Despite the propaganda, the violence isn't caused by Palestinians firing Qassam rockets erratically at Israel. It is caused by Israelis who frequently attack and kill Palestinian civilian targets who are Arab and who are Muslim. Are the four people who died in Boston any more deserving of attention than the thousands of Gaza civilians blown up by the Israeli bombings? That's not to minimize the tragedy of the four people who did die in Boston. Of course, their stories must be told, and the terrorists should be identified, and the world should wake up to the suffering of those people. But what about the Palestinians? What about Syrian refugees? Who is telling their story? How about the story of Kafr Qassem, when terrorist Ariel Sharon ordered the murder in cold blood of dozens of Arab civilians who were returning to their homes in occupied Palestine in 1956. They were unaware that Israel had imposed a shoot-to-kill curfew. Among the 48 murdered by Israeli soldiers were 23 children, all Arab, all Muslim, all Palestinian. I'd like to see a movie convey the horrific image of an Israeli soldier pointing his American-made gun at a six-year-old Arab child and shooting that child on the big screen so the American public can see the truth. Maybe they should make a movie about Deir Yassin, when Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir, both terrorists who later became Israeli prime ministers, ordered the massacre of 100 civilians in that village. Years later, Israel expelled its Arab citizens, razed the village, and built over it a memorial to Jews murdered during the Holocaust called the Yad Vashem. Maybe a movie can be made about American citizen Rachel Khoury, who was killed by an Israeli soldier driving a U.S.-made D9 Caterpillar bulldozer that was destroying Arab civilian homes so they could expand in an illegal Israeli and Jewish-only settlement in 2003 in the occupied territories. Maybe a movie about Abdel Fattah el-Sharif, the wounded Palestinian who was accused of attacking an Israeli soldier, along with a friend who was killed at a checkpoint in occupied Hebron when they were shot dead. As el-Sharif was lying on the ground, seriously wounded and unable to move, and again, remember, he was accused, never proven, never facts presented, because that's what Israel does to Arabs. He was on the ground, seriously wounded, he couldn't move, and Israeli soldier Azariah walked up to him and shot him in the head in cold blood. Azariah was charged and convicted of murder this past week, but Israeli officials are already urging that he be pardoned. We never would have known the facts of that killing had it not been for the courage of a civil rights activist who videotaped it. That activist is now the target of an Israeli hate campaign and multiple and unending death threats from Israeli fanatics. Where are those movies? Movies are a powerful means of convincing people of truths. Compelling movies can open the closed minds of audiences, especially in America, where for most Americans, movies are their only education about Middle East events. The Arab world could easily counteract 7 decades of Israeli propaganda and lies about Palestine, about Muslims, about Arabs, and stereotypes of Arabs and Muslims through just a couple of good films that they need to make. One movie is far more effective than a dozen speeches at the United Nations or human rights reports, much of which most Americans will never see and never hear. Americans are not listening to the pleas and causes of Arabs, Muslims, and Palestinians because we are not telling our story to the American people in the way that they want to hear us through Hollywood films. They can't hear us. They only see us when we are presented to them as bloodthirsty terrorists, usually through movies, but oftentimes through the biased and racist mainstream American news media, which is the number one villain in this story. Many of the films are directly or indirectly financed by Israeli and pro-Israeli investors, as is much of the news media. What's stopping us as Arabs, Palestinians, and Muslims from telling our stories? Is it the money? Wealthy Arabs and Muslims spend millions on luxury cars, spacious homes, and extravagant vacations. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but can't they spend a fraction on making a movie that tells a powerful truth that needs to be told and that hasn't been told? I remember in the 1960s when Hollywood released the movie Exodus, a film based on a novel by author Leon Uris. The movie was filled with lies, with exaggerations, with distortions, and was obvious fiction, and yet the American people embraced it as a definitive story of Israel. That's the education. That's where Americans are educated, at movie theaters, on television. We can achieve so much as Arabs, as Muslims, and as Palestinians by producing our own films for American audiences that offer a compelling truth about who we are. We wouldn't even lie like the Israelis do. We wouldn't have to. All we'd have to do is tell the truth. In the war between lies and truth, truth has no standing if it can never reach an audience. A few dollars from the Arab and Muslim world can change all that. I'm Ray Hanania.
Thank you for listening to my column commentary podcast at thedailyhookah.com. My columns address issues from around the world, including news, politics, and slice-of-life topics from Chicago to Jerusalem. This podcast is an audio production of those print newspaper columns, and it also features other independent audio productions. My mainstream columns are viewable online at thedailyhookah.com. My columns on the Middle East appear every Thursday in the Arab News newspaper and online at arabnews.com. Don't forget to download my free podcast app from the Apple Store and visit my website, thedailyhookah.com, to keep up with my life and writing. Thank you.